You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialised fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. So today we're starting a new serial, Tea and Sympathetic Magic. This novella has been a Patreon exclusive story for 2 years, so it's the first time that those outside my subscribers have been able to hear it. The sequel, The Frost Fair Affair, I'm still so delighted with that title, that'll be coming directly to Sheep Might Fly later this year, with the podcast being its first point of publication. But before we get started on that, I wanted to draw your attention to two projects which are time sensitive. So if it is not January 2020 anymore, you can spin on. This is no longer relevant. So, we have the Twitter hashtag Authors for Fireys, which is the home of a fundraising auction for the Country Fire Authority in Victoria, where volunteers are currently fighting the worst bushfires in history. This auction is to raise money to go to the firefighters for essential equipment and other things to support what they're currently doing. So, authors and illustrators are gathering to put up cool items for auction. They'll be doing them individually on Twitter using the collective hashtag. And I'm planning to auction a few bundles of signed books and enamel pins. There'll be lots of other great stuff. And anybody who wins the auction then is basically required to go make a donation directly for the amount that they won the auction and then show evidence that they paid that to get their thing. So the actual people organising the auction will not themselves be handling any money or donations. It just goes straight to the source where it needs to be. So auction opens today, the 6th of January 2020, and the auction will close on Saturday, the 11th of January. So it's just happening this week. And if you are an author or an illustrator, please join us. Put your own items up for auction to raise money for this very worthy cause as the nightmare summer continues through Australia. Also in January, more of a personal project, I'm running a Patreon special offer for the first of several paperback book releases that I'm putting out this year. So this is the first of the official print collections of the Belladonna University or Fake Geek Girl stories, which were originally broadcast on this podcast. They're now going to be branded as Belladonna U to make the distinction between this and earlier ebook editions of the stories. I want to try and make sure people aren't rebuying the stories if they don't want to. Anyway, so this first collection called Unreal Alchemy will be released for general sale in April. And there'll be a second volume in September called Holiday Brew. But my Patreon subscribers, who have already got to see the first glimpse of cover art for the project, which is really exciting, they're going to get a chance to get their print copy of Unreal Alchemy a couple of months before everyone else. So all my subscribers will get the ebook before the end of this January. And if you can subscribe for $1 a month if you want that. But the subscribers at $15 per month will actually get the paperback copy, post them in February. They'll also get their name in the book. And at the $15 level, there's a lot of other goodies that you get too, including a unique Manticore mini story, which is just sent to you and no one else. You get a Manticore themed badge and all the extras from the $5 reward level, which includes random acts of post. There's an exclusive backstage pass newsletter. There's lots of loot, basically. But the main thing in this case is to get the paperback out to people. It is very exciting to be publishing these, as I know ebooks are real books, but having a paper edition is really important. And it's quite hard as somebody using any kind of small press or self-publishing resources to get paperback books out there at a reasonable price point for consumers, because once they go through the system, because you're dealing with less resources than a bigger publisher, the price often just to make any profit at all. You're talking about like a dollar a book or whatever. The price often goes up beyond what people expect for a paperback book. If I'm able to distribute them directly, which is why things like Kickstarter and Patreon become terribly useful, I can actually distribute the books at a much more reasonable price point to my customers, which is really nice because I don't get very many opportunities to, like I did last year at a convention or at a writer's festival, to sell directly, hand the book to people. Postage is always an issue, and postage is getting worse because, you know, we live in an apocalypse, but we still need books. Anyway, so check out my Patreon if you are interested in getting a hold of a paperback book of Belladonna U before anybody else gets it. And absolutely follow the Twitter hashtag AuthorsForFieries this week in January. Okay, now on with this week's podcast serial, Tea and Sympathetic Magic. I apologize in advance for my attempt at an English accent, which is probably going to happen. This is the kind of story that implies that. I regret nothing. Tea and Sympathetic Magic. Dramatis Personae. Miss Mnemosyne Neame Seaborn, an eligible lady. Mr. Charles Thornbury, a spellcracker of note. Henry Jupiter, the Duke of Storm, an eligible duke with a splendid library. Miss Letty Agnew, a friendly face. Lady Agnew, an accomplished hostess of garden parties. Mrs. Galatea Seaborn, a matchmaking mama, mistress of Shellitch standing. Antiope Seaborn, former Duchess of Storm, deceased. Mrs. Hecate Seaborn, a scheming mama. Miss Metis Seaborn, a poor relation. Mrs. Juno von Trask, an ambitious widow. Lady Liesel of Sandwich, a renowned beauty. Colonel Winterbourne, an unthreatening gentleman. Dr. Simon St. Swithins, an unthreatening gentleman doctor. Lady Europa Lovage, a hired hostess with many daughters. Mrs. Paula Days, a lady novelist and hired chaperone. Sadie, a helpful maid with many sisters. Queen Aud does not appear in this story. Alfred Lord Manticore also does not appear in this story. Mr. Seaborn, a quiet and retiring papa with great faith in his daughter and a taste for the Isle of Bath, does not appear in this story. A priestess. Diverse servants and guests. Tea and Sympathetic Magic, Chapter 1. If anyone had told Miss Mnemosyne Seaborn, Neame for short, that she should grow up to be the sort of person who was bored of garden parties, she would have declared then and there that growing up was off the table. Little Neame had been an outspoken child, to the constant frustration of her mamma, and adored parties because cakes and conversation were her favourite things. She dreamed of a future when she was out in society, attending croquet games and glamorous balls, ready to catch a dazzling husband. These days, at 22 years old, she would much rather be at home in her father's library with a cup of tea and a book. There was, as it turned out, a ceiling on how many garden parties you could attend before they all became dismally dull. Lady Agnew's garden party was the 14th Neame had attended since this season, her 5th since coming out, began. And she was about ready to throw a teacup at the next person who informed her that it was a lovely day. It was a lovely day. The sunshine was perfect. The roses were in bloom. The cakes were frosted in charming shades of blush pink and cornflower blue. There was the promise of sweetened ices later and an eligible duke on the premises. Everything was awful. "Is the tea to your liking?" asked Miss Letty Agnew, daughter of today's hostess. Only on her first season, she had not yet been crushed flat by the disappointments of the marriage market. Neem smiled as genuinely as she dared. Most of her energies these days were poured into appearing dull. Today that meant blending into the crowd of lovely, eligible young ladies in muslin frocks who danced attendance upon His Grace. "My tea is perfect," she said, keeping a careful eye upon the man of the hour, who stood in the centre of the pungent chamomile lawn in his bright orange cravat, which clashed with his even brighter beard, laughing loudly at something. "We source the blend from a darling little plantation on the Isle of Dormouse," said the very young Miss Agnew, her voice trailing off as she realised that her audience was less than enthusiastic for the topic. "Oh, you're not interested in tea?" "I am very interested in tea," Neem assured her. "Tea is the centre of my thoughts. I've drunk 3 cups this afternoon already, each more splendid than the last." Tea rarely disappointed her. Tea would never ruin her chances at a decent marriage by constantly hurling her at the highest ranked and least appropriate suitors, refusing to listen to a word she said about what she actually wanted. It was possible that tea was no longer entirely the centre of her thoughts. Across the lawn, Henry Jupiter, the Duke of Storm, laughed at something one of his admirers said. His entire body shook as he indulged in a guffaw far longer and louder than society deemed polite. A lightning bolt of power sizzled in the air above his head, and no one batted an eye at that either, because a duke was allowed to be as rude or careless as he liked. Everyone of a lower rank was expected to keep their magical abilities buttoned up and quiet when there was tea to be sipped and polite conversation to be made. The Duke of Storm's entire existence was infuriating to Neem. He held out an empty teacup as if expecting it to be snatched by empty air, and oh, there was one of his 3 personal footmen who did indeed replace the empty cup with a brimming one, without the Duke having to wait more than a second or two. The universe was infuriating that such rituals existed to meet the exact needs of men who had done nothing to deserve them. Henry wasn't even a particularly terrible example of a duke. But because he was a duke, no one would ever demand that he improve his character to any degree. At least when his mother, the late Duchess, was alive, there was someone who brooked none of his nonsense. Neem's teacup rattled in her saucer. She caught Miss Agnew staring in alarm at her too firm grip on the delicate handle and corrected the hold so that the teacup was less in danger of being snapped to pieces. "I wish he'd choose a wife already," Neem huffed. "Then some of us could breathe out for the rest of the season." "I wish he'd choose me," Miss Agnew blurted and blushed. "Be careful what you wish for," said Neem automatically, a ritual phrase often spoken in magical households. She caught sight of her mama fluttering around the Duke of Storm like a hungry butterfly and turned away with a sigh. Marrying a duke is not all it's cracked up to be.
"But he's so almost handsome, and he does cut a fine figure in his suits," Miss Agnew protested. "The Queen often invites him to advise her on matters of state, which means his wife will surely be invited to several royal events every year, and so many parties. Also, they say the ducal estate of Storm has the finest library in all the Isles. 3,000 volumes." "A fine library," does increase the appeal of any potential husband. Neem conceded. She thought better of Miss Agnew, that she counted the library as a bonus to a gentleman's appeal. If only one could be sure that he had ever read a book. Oh dear, said Miss Agnew, in despair, as her own mother, Lady Agnew, took the arm of the Duke, whisking him along the lawn. A parade of whirling muslin dresses fell in behind them, none of his admirers wishing to be left behind. I do believe it's time for croquet. Balls, said Neem, then grinned impishly at Miss Agnew, who spluttered out a very unladylike laugh in return. Very well, she said, with a sigh to show it was a great inconvenience. I suppose we can be friends, despite your terrible taste in suitors.
He's not my suitor, said Miss Agnew, her blush reaching higher on her cheeks. I've only been introduced to him twice.
Mnemosyne, boomed the Duke, as his bright cravat and even brighter head of red-gold hair swung past the two ladies. How jolly to see you! I didn't even know you were here!
The pressure of matchmaking mamas and young ladies desperate to do something more than drink tea swept him onwards. He was gone before Neem could do the polite thing and encourage him to talk to her friend.
You know him personally, hissed Miss Agnew. He called you by name.
He's my cousin, Neem said, heavily.
Is that why you don't want to marry him? Because, you know, quite a few lovely marriages do start out as family affairs.
It's more that I've met him,
Neem interrupted. She had already received several lectures this season on why it was perfectly normal for cousins to marry, mostly from her mamma, who would not let go of the image of Mnemosyne as the Duchess of Storm. We wouldn't suit at all, is the thing. I'm sure he'll make someone an adequate husband if their expectations are not unduly raised by the whole ducal title business, but that person shall not be me.
Will you be my partner for croquet? Miss Agnew asked after a long, thoughtful pause.
As long as you understand that I shall be hitting my ball in the opposite direction of His Grace the eligible Duke of Storm at all times.
That's all right, said her new friend. I can pine from afar.
There were only two places where eligible young ladies in the polite society circles of the teacup aisles could properly show off their magical abilities to marriageable gentlemen: the ballroom and the croquet lawn. The object of the game was to knock one's ball through the right hoops with a mallet. But 10 years ago, the very young Queen Aud was presented with a set of gold-plated croquet hoops as a coronation gift from the distant Troilish Empire, and almost caused a diplomatic incident by declaring that croquet was the dullest pastime in the world. Alfred Lord Manticore, the Queen's personal adviser on magical matters, saved the day by challenging the court to a more interesting version of the game, after which the traditional rules lurched rather dramatically into a royal indulgence of chaos, charm work, and the gratuitous application of hexes. The unspoken rules of the new game made it a free-for-all when it came to charms, enchantment, illusion, or any other forms of magic considered appropriate for mixed company. One could not put a spell on another player, or the lawn itself, but you could do so to any mallets, hoops, or balls that came within 3 feet of you. The new croquet was a splendid romp when played with imagination and gumption. It was also, as was true of any pastime enjoyed at garden parties, house parties, or other gatherings of eligible unmarried gentlefolk, an excellent opportunity for creative flirting. Neem and Miss Agnew were both, as it turned out, very quick with a mallet. They entertained themselves, knocking around a ball which flicked back and forth between being a rolled-up hedgehog and a grass-covered coconut macaroon.
every other eligible lady in the garden party orbited the Duke of Jupiter, as if he needed the attention. Their spells were a riot of hearts, flowers, teasing word games, and attempts to be memorable while demonstrating no originality whatsoever. "You can join the crowd, you know," Neem assured her new friend. "I won't think any less of you." "I'm hoping to gain points by being aloof and mysterious," Miss Agnew shot back, clipping the hedgehog gently through another hoop, which hissed at her, exactly as if it were a snake. "Oh, crumbs," she said, staring at it in alarm. "Brace yourself," Neem warned, in an undertone, as a certain mamma broke away from the gaggle of lace-shawled chaperones, chuffing towards them with a bosom that was incapable of doing anything other than heave. "My dear," Mrs. Galatea Seaborne gasped as she reached her daughter. "The best of news. The Duke has invited you and mousy little Metis to his house party next week. A house party, Mnemosyne, for a whole fortnight." "What fun," said Miss Agnew, with a hint of jealousy. Neem made a pained expression. "You promised me this was the last one, Mamma. You promised we could go home." Neem adored the Seaborne family home. They had a modest library, a lovely garden, a very competent cook, and most important of all, no horde of people trotting through the house at all hours, demanding that she audition for the role of future wife. Home was quiet and peaceful and calming in a way that the flurry of society was not. If marriage could not offer her that, then she was in no hurry to be married, and to a duke least of all. "It's the end of garden party season. Of course I promised this was the last one," said her mamma, with a careless wave. "House party season begins, and you will be a guest of the Duke. Why, as his cousin, I expect you will be top of the table, if that interfering Lady Lovage doesn't take against you." Neem groaned. This was clearly a battle she would never win. "If I agree to go to Cousin Henry's house party without complaint, I needn't attend any others, need I?" she tried. "That all depends if you have a ring on your finger by the end of it," declared her mamma, who was nobody's fool. Mrs. Seaborne turned around and trotted back to the game, neatly sidestepping two croquet hoops, which had been charmed to dance a minuet together. "You know what you have to do," said Miss Agnew in a low voice, as they both watched Mrs. Seaborne cross the croquet lawn. Neem sighed heavily and nodded. "I have to find the Duke a suitable wife." She paused. "I don't suppose you were invited to this dreadful affair?" Miss Agnew's eyes sparkled. "Perhaps if someone put in a good word for me?" Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at Sheep Might Fly. Find me on Facebook at TansyRR Books. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge, with a special offer running this month. See you next week for more tea and sympathetic magic.